The Fancy Film Fellows employs a frank discussion of cinema that includes adult language and descriptions of mature situations. We have no concern for spoilers, so be warned, you might learn more than you'd care to know.
Game Boys.
Hello, fancy friends. We are back with another. What are we calling this series of podcasts? Or I don't know if we're even considering this another Game Boys podcast, because that was mostly us playing video games. But we actually have a movie this time, even though we are still talking about video games. I'm here, and I have my regular host, Ruben, next to me.
Hello.
And we also have two special guest hosts. Matt, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Matt Shore. I do a podcast called Bunker Brothers, which is about two half-brothers who inherited their late father's bunker. And I'm also known as the Investigate 311 guy from the Eric Andre show. I'm a lifelong fan of Pokemon, and or at least since it came out, not lifelong. I was prenatally a fan of Pokemon too, and I was a Mew in the womb. And I love Pokemon. I have a cat named Meowth, so I'm a super big nerd. So that's me.
Awesome, good times. And Stephanie, you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah. All right. So I'm Stephanie. I do not have my own podcast, but I have many Pokemon stuffed animals. I love Pokemon so much. My aunt's the one that got me started into Pokemon. It was the first video game I ever played. It was Pokemon Blue.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, good times.
But yeah, I'm quite the avid Pokemon connoisseur.
Yeah. Well, if you couldn't tell from the intro, we are talking about Pokemon, the first movie, Mewtwo Strikes Back from 1998, directed by Kunihiko Uyama. And we're also going to be just talking about Pokemon in general, sort of as a phenomenon, I guess, a video game and a cultural force to be reckoned with. First we're going to talk about the movie. And I guess since, Ruben, you're here next to me, and you also watched the movie just now, what do you think of it?
I mean, it's dumb.
That's low.
All right, moving on.
Wow, what a review. It's
Mewtwo
dumb.
Mewtwo is like, Pokemon and people can't be friends. It seems like particularly tested for like the children in the audience to yell back at him.
Yeah.
We are You're friends.
Right. You're wrong.
We have to be friends.
And then I watched the English dub. I don't know how different the writing is in the Japanese one, but then
probably fewer jokes like about the Minnesota Vikings in the Japanese version, yeah. I would imagine.
It's true.
Fucking ridiculous.
It's like, you can't have Pokemon fight, and it's like, escalate, that's literally what they're for. And they're
I
like,
know.
Just that... afterwards, like this, to the end of the sentence.
Right. And they try to thread a needle.
Like, what's the difference between this and the other way in which they always fight?
Because like the whole conflict is, I mean, there's a lot to unpack in this weird movie, but the whole thing is like Mewtwo is cloning Pokemon to prove that clone Pokemon are as strong. It doesn't matter how you were born. In fact, clones can be as strong as regulars.
That's what they say anyway.
But yeah, like the conclusion has this really difficult metaphor to parse, or not even metaphor, but lesson to parse, because it's like Pokemon are meant to battle. Like that's the whole game. Besides catching them, that's like what you do with them besides like trapping them inside a PC and never letting them see the light of day.
Yeah.
Great. I've got this legendary Moltres. I'm just going to leave it in here to die. Yeah, it's really weird when they're like, yeah, they all just add like this at the end. They're like, Pokemon aren't meant to fight like this, specifically. Like otherwise, this. They totally are meant to fight. But that's, I mean, there's literally a fighting type of Pokemon.
It's there are so many, like, weird, like, left turns in this movie where it's like, okay, well, now this is a message movie, like... It's about racism now? I don't understand, like, what is the analog that they're trying to parse? It's so strange.
I will
strange.
Say that I like the Pikachu slap fight.
Oh my god.
A
minute,
it's so sad.
A minute and a half of just a medium shot of Pikachu slapping. Oh.
Pika!
Yes, the...
It's so sad.
The dialogue there says so much more than anything else in this movie.
I love Team Rocket, and I feel like the best or the most fun parts of this movie are when Team Rocket is doing anything, because I love them as characters. I find them very funny and engaging. Can I just say, I mentioned this right before we started, but I saw this movie in theaters when I was already too old for this shit.
Oh my god,
and
me too.
I saw it in theaters, and I was hyped. I liked the cartoon a whole lot. But even for, like, an episode of the cartoon, it takes a really weird, dour tone. And what I didn't realize is, like, the version that we watched, anyway, has, like, a 20-minute opening sequence all about Mewtwo's origins that was cut from the U.S. release. You can only get on the DVD.
Correct.
And, like...
It's
pretty... It makes sense because, like, there's this big thing, and I remember pissing me off so much as a tween or whatever I was, like, because at the end of the movie, spoiler alert for this for this movie, if you haven't seen it, go out now. It's what
this
everyone's talking about.
This 20-something-year-old movie, yes.
Because of psychic energy, Ash gets turned to stone because Mew is short for Mewdusa or something. I don't know.
Mewdusa.
And so... Ash gets turned to stone, and the magic of Pokemon Tears brings him back to life, right? So, like, that's a throwaway line in the U.S. release of this movie when this, again, throwaway character of, like, the lighthouse keeper or something who's like, they are Pokemon masters. They fight through the storm. Like,
oh, yeah, this
totally random character.
Racially ambiguous
nothing.
Lady.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah, it's like, I am the Eastern European lady who will guide you through this. Look at my crystal ball. And she has a throwaway line about Pokemon magic, like, curing the storm with tears or something. But there's a whole setup with that in the prologue that makes sense of what happens at the end. And as a kid, I was like, this came out of nowhere. There's nothing in the games about drinking tears or some shit.
Yeah.
Like, it's not Phoenix Downs. Yeah. It's like, what is this? And so I was shocked, and I really liked the prologue, but it's also shocking to see a movie that's ostensibly an extension of the anime that does not include Ash, Brock, or Misty, your central characters, for the first, like, 25 minutes, and then has another opening mantra.
It's like a Terrence Malick Tree of Life thing. Like, it's like, here's this opening, you know, thing about the creation of the universe. And
here's
shit.
Some dinosaurs.
Now we're
going
to get to this story.
And it's like they replaced that whole, like, 20-minute prologue with that fucking Pikachu's Vacation short.
Right.
And I'm like, we could have had 20 minutes of extra story, but we're just here.
They did not have that to spare. This is a half hour of story stretched to sort of movie length. Because, like, I even when I was thinking about the movie, I was like, okay, so what happens in this? They go to the island, and they're like, this seems bad. It is. And then they fight. And that's, like, the whole movie. And they're, like... I felt like there's a sequence where they're getting to the island and they're, like, under the water and stuff. And I'm watching, like, 30 minutes of carefully hand-drawn animation of them just being pulled by Squirtle through the water. And I'm just like, I get it. Like,
which is a dream that I wanted to live when I was a child, was swimming, like, deep sea diving with a Squirtle. I was like, my dream.
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, mine was always stealing that... people's souls with a Gengar. I just really wanted to do it.
That is, yeah, so, like, not to get too deep into like Pokemon lore at this point, but some of the backstories for the Pokemon are like super weird like that. Like I know even now, like there is a Shedinja Pokemon card that has it like literally stealing someone's soul on the card. And you're like, wait, some of these things are just like demons. Like these are just demons from hell that have escaped on the earth.
They're just stealing people's souls. Shedinja is the one who's like a ghost, but not, or he's the one who has like zero HP or something.
Well, one HP. It's the, Shedinja is the husk of a, like evolved.
The ninjask.
Ninjask, right. When Ninjask evolves, it like sheds its husk. It's like a cicada.
Yeah, you need an extra slot when your Ninjask evolves, so it could join your party. But when I was like younger and I first played like Ruby and Sapphire, I didn't know that, and I was like, "What the hell is this fucking thing in my party? This lame ass no HP thing in my party."
Thanks for the new Pokemon. So, like, what's the strategy with Shedinja? Do you remember?
Don't get hit. Like, it.
Yeah. So its whole thing is like it can only take damage from super effective hits. So if you hit it normally, it won't do any damage to it. But it also takes chip damage from everything else. So like if you poison it, it'll die immediately. And like it's not a great strategy, but. I don't know.
I honestly never knew that because I just shoved it in my PC immediately.
Right. Because normally those gimmick characters have something. Like, my favorite new gimmick character in the new one is Ice Q, the penguin with the ice face. And he's got a big block ice face. And if he gets hit, the ice face breaks. But it's sort of like a Mimikyu mask or disguise.
Yeah, he's an ice-type Mimikyu, basically, yeah.
Right. But he's not quite as good as Mimikyu, but he... in terms of his feasibility, but there are like fun annoying strats where it's like you cast hail and then his face rebuilds, and so you just sort of constantly trolling your opponent with your big dumb ice face, I love dumb Pokemon like that, like him and Delibird.
We've strayed from the movie a little bit here, I think.
Sorry people are waiting.
That was what I thought of the movie. What did everybody else think of the movie?
Stephanie, you were saying that you also saw this movie in theaters.
Yeah.
If
it came out in 98, I was 5 years old. And I remember my uncle and I lining up for this movie. And there's a whole line of like children and their parents around the corner. And they're passing out like the promotional like Pokemon cards and stuff like that, which I still have, like, only one. I only have one. And it's the Dragonite with his little satchel.
I used to have that one as well.
I used to have, like, the medallions that Burger King passed out, too, and I have no idea where they are. Mm-hmm. But watching it as, like, an adult, it's like, why are these 10-year-olds just hopping onto this boat to go to this weird-ass island because some... eccentric, supposedly greatest Pokemon trainer in the world invited them. I've been like, no. No.
There's
thank
no
you.
Vetting either. Yeah. It seems like Mewtwo.
The children are completely unsupervised in this movie. Like,
and in general, in this, it's like Pokemon exists in the realm of like 80s parenting where it's like, all right, go out, have fun. All right, so what's on TV for the next 8 hours?
Here's some cash. Get out of here.
Never come back again.
Yeah,
It is very weird that like when children turn 10 years old in this universe, their parents are just like, bye, see ya, here's a little monster.
Take this flaming dog and get out of my life.
Yeah. Sorry if it's low to your trash. Like,
take this electrical mouse that hates you and get out of here.
See, I this is again sort of like a sidebar, but I love Pokemon, obviously, and I always dream of it like becoming like a legit movie. And so fewer movies felt more like a gut punch than Detective Pikachu, which I did not like very much. I think I like that movie less than this one because at least I have the cushion of nostalgia.
Oh yeah.
on this one, whereas Detective Pikachu, I'm just like trying to parse it out. Like, I'm like, this should be like Harry Potter, we should be all on board with this.
Yeah.
But instead it's like, it's hard for me to understand what's going on, and I'm your key demographic of like super fan. So I found that frustrating. But I was thinking about like, how you would do a cool Pokemon movie, and I was like, in my head, this is just a pitch for you guys, but what if you did like a Pokemon Ranger movie where you had some guy who is like McCree from Overwatch, where he's like a rough and tumble modern cowboy type dude, and he has like some partner Pokemon, and they like, I don't know, are like bounty hunters or something like that. So like it has some sort of like, I guess that's also a sort of like a Detective Pikachu-ing of like putting it in an existing format, but anything to make it like seem semi-serious. I don't know, that's something I don't know what his partner Pokemon would be, but I would like something like that, or even just a retelling of the basic Ash story as a movie.
But I'm gonna be an old guy real quick, and I'm gonna say that I didn't understand a lot of what you just said. Like, I didn't know anything about Overwatch, so I'm like, I don't know what the fuck that is.
I know the general concept, cowboy stereotype, because that's pretty much what.
Yeah, I know the general concept behind Pokemon Ranger, although I've never played any of the Pokemon Ranger games. But I think that's the way you would have to go with it. Is like pick a side story. Because I think I'm in the minority of people who like enjoyed Detective Pikachu because of how dumb it was. I was just like, this is exactly the movie I thought I was getting. I was like, this movie's gonna be so dumb. Like, I don't think that I've ever enjoyed like a Pokemon movie. Like, the show has always been just about kind of like being goofy and fun to me. And so like I watched Detective Pikachu, and like, you know, like as soon as the ending part, like the ending twist of the movie was revealed, I was like, Of course. Like,
why not?
This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Like, that's, of course it's that. Like, of course that's the twist of the movie. I don't want to ruin Detective Pikachu for anyone, but
in my opinion, it comes pre-ruined, so that's not a problem. I think visually it is an incredibly beautiful movie, The way they made everything look is really cool. I found the writing to be incoherent. I did not understand a damn thing that happened in that movie, but I will say I enjoyed it. There's a part in the movie where they like go to a lab, and suddenly there's all these like Greninjas throwing water shurikens at them as everything's exploding, and huge Torterras are exploding out of the earth. And I'm like, this is my movie. Some sort of Pokemon apocalypse.
I wanted a whole hour of that.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't even know what the fuck is going on. And I love it. I love it. I remember I saw
the Bulbasaurs that they had in Detective Pikachu's just waddling around, and I was like crying. I was like, they're so cute. Because Bulbasaur is like my favorite, and I was just like, oh my god, I can't believe it. Like, my son, like, they captured him perfectly.
So that was kind of something that I wanted to like delve into, actually, is like I just wanted to like go through people's history with the games as well.
Sure.
Like,
okay.
When did you start? I know, Stephanie, you already told us you started with Blue.
Mm-hmm.
I also started with Blue. It wasn't the first game I ever played, but I remember like being super hyped for it when it came out. Like, mm-hmm. having the Nintendo Power like little like preview things for it, like comics. I was like, oh my god!
I was so hyped based on that. I had those same things. I was so, and it was definitely like I was on the older end, and I'm like getting too old for this, but like I could tell this was going to be huge. I was like bought into the hype early and was like, this is going to be great. I knew like I had like the first three routes memorized. I was like, okay, these guys are on this route. Like, I don't even know what they mean. I know I want Bulbasaur. And like, yeah, I was very much like cued into it from the same. I don't remember how old I was. I think it was probably in 8th grade or maybe 7th grade.
I was so young. I was like maybe 4, 5, who knows, like, but I always thought that I had to pick the Pokemon that was on the cartridge. I was like, this is how it is, because Blastoise is on the Blue. I was like, I have to pick this
on
one
game
because it told me to.
That's funny.
And the power of advertising.
Of course. And I was like, well, where's the green one? Where's Bulbasaur?
Right, where's green?
He was on the Japanese cartridge.
Yeah, the only one. And then I remember upset when Yellow came out. That was like my shit. I loved Yellow. Yes. All I ever wanted was the whole OG team and Pikachu, and I got it. And of course Pikachu follows you around and you can talk to him, and it's so cute.
It was a big deal when they first revealed like the Pikachu would follow you around, and it didn't have to stay in a Pokeball. It was like, whoa, next level, they're taking the game.
It's like, I'm Ash Ketchum for real. Like, hell yeah. I'm better than Ash because I'm actually doing my job and getting my Pokemon.
Yeah, I'm evolving my Bulbasaur and my Squirtle to their highest forms.
And I'm not letting go of my Butterfree because I'm a dipshit. Like,
and my Charizard will obey me.
Yeah, because I'm not an idiot.
That's like one of the most frustrating things in the movie too, is like the disregard for some of like the basic rules of it. Like, I know Pikachu's supposed to be amazing because he's a Pikachu, but like in the opening montage, he like destroys a golem or Graveler or something like that with a thundershock, and I'm like, also, it's like, well,
impossible. First of all,
he's grounded. I mean, it's like, it's not just like crazy Pokemon rules. It's like electricity. He's ground type. Yeah. He's grounded. It's not going to do damage to him, but it does because he's Pikachu. And maybe he's just super high level or something, but it should be not effective at all. So it's weird that like the official movie disregards that.
I was always very angry about that in the show. Like, I kind of disregarded the show pretty early on as like for like being for me very much because of the episode where he goes to fight Brock and then like Brock has only ground type Pokemon and Pikachu just electrocutes them all, and I was like,
the water went off.
Get out of here.
The like, water went off in the gym and he just beat it. I'm like, that's not what happens.
Oh, you can just kill it because the sprinkler system went off? Like, come on.
I'm like, I don't think so.
Imagining little 11-year-old Patrick or whatever, like, yelling at the TV.
Oh, I was... there were some episodes of the show where I was kind of, like, incensed. Like, there's one where Ash's Bulbasaur beats a Scyther with Vine Whip, and I was like, that's, like, -4 effective. Like, come on, like, get out of here. Like... maybe it's only half damage that they take from that, but like Scyther's a flying type. Like he's not gonna get killed by Vine Whip. Get out of here.
All of Ash's Pokemon are level 10,000. Did
you not
Pokemon
know that yet?
It's a level 100 Bulbasaur. Yeah. Good job, Ash.
And it's just because they're Ash's Pokemon that they're amazing. Like, and the fact that they don't evolve and stuff like that is always frustrating. It's like, especially in this movie, where they're like, "Go Arcanine," and he's like, "Okay, here's my." Not type effective Pokemon going up against it, and it's level 1. This should be great, and he wins. And it's like, you could at least teach the kids to get better at the game. Like you have one job.
That is something that was always kind of frustrating too. It was like is Ash supposed to be a good trainer? Because he doesn't really seem like it, and he literally has a Pokemon that won't obey him. Like he's like canonically a bad trainer.
He's
has all the bad
white man failing up.
Like, because I really don't understand why his Charmander won't, or his Charizard won't listen to him. He has all the badges required for the Charizard
because
to listen.
Ash is an idiot, and the Charizard... this whole movie is about how dumb Ash is. I mean, this movie contains a scene in which Ash tries to fist fight Mewtwo thrown 50 miles away.
He saves the day by suiciding.
Like in the middle of a blast, like the whole thing is like the movie starts with our hero being lazy as fuck because he can't eat, like he's Goku, which he is not, and like he's just like the worst hero, but he's still so lovable because he sucks so bad, I think, and like I don't know, I love him all the way through. Sneezes? Is there sneezes?
Yes. Apologies.
It's a cub chew. There we go.
There you go.
And yeah, it's. I mean, I love him as a character. I love these voice actors. I feel like a problem with this movie is that they don't let Brock and Misty have their personalities. They have like muted versions of their personalities. Like Brock isn't half as lecherous as he is on the show, and that's like his whole bit.
He isn't as horny on Maine.
He really is, and it's so funny. It's always funny, and like I mean, I don't know, I think like I know we started this by saying the movie was dumb, but like I spent the whole time
being
like,
movie was dumb. No one else expressed their opinion.
I agree.
It's bad.
It's dumb, but I also kind of like it.
I love stupid things.
I don't know why I kind of like it. It's because I think there's like 50% of this is like well-intentioned, interesting ideas for an animated movie. And then 50% of it is like conflicting ideas that could have been smoothed out but never were. And so it's like, it's a frustrating thing to watch because it's like, this could have easily been better, but it seems like a lot of choices were made that undermine that. But like, as looking back on it with nostalgia, I was like, this is so dumb, but I also didn't pause it. I also, once I got going into it, I just watched it. I was like, this is fucking dumb. I'll just watch 10 more minutes to make sure I remember it. And then it's like the credits. I'm like, oh. So, I mean, it kept my interest. And I watch a lot of bad movies for our podcast. And it was not anywhere as bad as Warriors of Virtue or Backtrace or any of the horrible movies we've covered on Bunker Brothers, which I do not. I recommend Bunker Brothers, but I do not recommend watching any of the movies we watch, because except Wonder Woman 84, I'll say was good, good-ish, and Sonic the Hedgehog was good.
I liked the Sonic the Hedgehog movie also.
Asking about games.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we'll do an episode of Sonic the Hedgehog. On this same like podcast format at some point in the future. I like watching this movie this time. I was like struck by how much I enjoyed the extremely dumb parts, and I guess my overall take is that I wish this movie was more dumb.
Like, more dumb.
It tries to be a little too serious, and I was like, the opening of this is a completely different movie, obviously. It's like some weird ass movie where Mewtwo just like mercs up everybody. Like, wow. Mewtwo straight up just murdered every scientist that was like working on that project. And
that's why Mr. Fuji isn't in the fucking cartoon.
It's so weird that it starts with like a guy's marriage. I mean, this is part of the stuff that they cut from the American release, but like his marriage falls apart because his daughter dies. That's the beginning of this movie. So he tries to clone his daughter, like in Full Metal Alchemist or whatever. Oh, no, wait, that's not what happens, but that's what it reminded me of. He's sort of like Mr. Freeze and trying to run this experiment for personal reasons, but he's also hired by Giovanni to create Mewtwo, right? So, like, he's basically using Giovanni's resources to secretly clone his daughter. And the one thing that they don't really express is in the beginning, like, there's Mewtwo, baby teenage Mewtwo, which I did not exist, is having this, like, beautiful fantasy, like, little Nemo flying around with his baby Pokemon friends. And they're all clones in other tanks that he is psychically linked to. And then all those clones die. Because they fail, including the little girl clone. That's the beginning of your movie.
Yeah.
All his friends die. Yeah, yeah. His memory gets wiped. And then he's like, I still have angst, though, and I don't know why. And so I'm just pissed for the rest of the movie. And then it's like, okay, 30 minutes have passed. Now it's time for Ash's adventure. And you're like, what? What? And it's
I just wish that it had, like, picked a path. If it wanted to make the movie that part was, like, make that movie. But if you're gonna make like a dumb Pokemon movie with Ash and like Team Rocket and shit, like, make that movie, because I wanted to see more, like, honestly, like, more Team Rocket, because they're hilarious. And like the Minnesota Vikings joke is so fucking funny. Like, as soon as Jesse showed up doing the, like, bad Norwegian accent, I was like, all right, I'm here for this. Like, this is what I want more Jesse and James being as extra as possible. I want more, like, them just getting into dumb shenanigans. Like, honestly, I need that Team Rocket movie is what I need. Like, I need to know, like,
I'm 100%
the deal with Jesse and James.
Yeah, I need,
like,
a Team Rocket.
That would be a fun movie.
A Team Rocket movie about them just constantly failing to basically rob a 10-year-old boy or whatever. That's why they're so great, is that they just suck so bad. Ash sucks, right?
They're too extra to rob a 10-year-old, like.
Ash is like the worst. He's an idiot, and they can't outsmart him. and they have unlimited resources, every Wile E. Coyote gadget imaginable, a talking Pokemon. Like, they have every advantage. And you know that Giovanni and whoever else runs their stuff is just like, just send them fucking into the field, man.
Like, just get him out of here. I don't want him there.
Out of my office.
Like, I bet they don't even get paid. I bet they're like, oh, yeah, you're part of Team Rocket. We already gave him the clothes, and I don't want to wash them. Just send them out
this
there,
is a
man.
Volunteer just, effort. I don't know if you got that memo. This is a non-profit organization.
I want to like step away from the movie for a minute, sure, and talk more about the games and like I guess like go around the table and be like, so Ruben, what are your experiences with Pokemon games? Like, do you have any?
I played Pokemon Red and Pokemon Stadium and Pokemon Go.
Okay.
I liked Pokemon Red a lot. I was we'll talk about this a little bit on a future podcast, but I really liked to collect things when I was younger, so it appealed to me in that way. I think I got all of the Pokemon you could get without trading, because I couldn't find anybody to trade with. I think everyone who I knew who played Pokemon also liked Red. So we all had Red.
Yeah. I want the Charizard.
Couldn't get Echoes or whatever, Or Sandshrew was the one that was in blue, yeah.
I bought Pokemon Stadium because I was like, oh, Pokemon for, what was that, the N64?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this is going to be exciting with all the good graphics. But it was like, it's really like a add-on game. Like, you use your Pokemon from other games in it. Like, it's not really a game in itself. And I was like, oh. And that, and then they added, like, 30,000 more Pokemon, and I was like, this is too many. 151 was the right number.
You should have stopped. Go back.
The same thing, the exact same thing happened with Pokemon Go. It came out the summer that I didn't have a car, and so I was like biking everywhere around town and just playing Pokemon Go.
That's the dream. You literally get a bicycle like in the game. You're catching Pokemon. You're living it. You're living it right there. Was it a mock bike or a trick bike? That's the thing.
And I played it for like 2 months, and then they put in like the next generation Pokemons, and I was like, it's too many Pokemon. I can't learn the new Pokemon.
Get this gold silver Pokemon out of here. Yeah.
So Matt, that's my history.
Matt, like, beyond what your... Which starter did you pick, Matt?
Bulbasaur, hands down.
Bulbasaur.
Which one did you pick, Ruben? Do you remember?
I played with all of them, but my favorite of the three starters is Charmander.
Okay. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I picked Bulbasaur as my starter because I... I was into the like strategy of it, and I was like, all right, the first two gyms are...
Right.
Ground type and water type, so I need a grass type because it can counter both of those very well. And honestly, like, I still love, I think of the starters, like, Bulbasaur is still my favorite.
I love Bulbasaur.
My favorite overall Pokemon is Scyther.
I love Scyther as
and
well.
Scissor. I think great Jesus. Designs and Scissor is still like viable in the meta. Like, I love.
Oh yeah, I have
like a Swords Dance bullet punching Scissor. Is
yeah,
like
with
a
the U turn and just like
solid.
Goodbye. So good. Yeah, good. Yeah. Good. He's one of my level 100s. One of my favorites.
Oh
fans.
My god.
He's so good.
Yeah.
I have a handful of ones that I've carried from generation to generation that are like my favorite fighting guys.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not like pro level or anything like that, but I'm like intermediate okay at the game. So it's like if I play with a friend, they hate me and are furious at me immediately. But like if I play against anyone like online or anything like that, I'll probably lose. But there have been times when I win and I'm just like, ha ha ha, you fools. I'm like so shocked by my own success.
Yep.
But yeah, Scizor's amazing.
But yeah, like, but like of the starters, I think Bulbasaur has always like, I mean, it's literally number one in the Pokedex, which I think is still cool. But it's also the only starter that has Poison type. Mm-hmm. Which is, I was like, there were so many grass poison type in Gen 1, and I think they like tried to kind of pull that back in later gens, but they just never got back around to grass and poison for starters. So I'm like, aha, the only poison type in the starter pool. And like, since fairy Pokemon came out, that's been like a big deal, actually, because poison used to be trash, but now it's actually good.
I think the way the battle chart looks now is pretty cool. I like how it's balanced. I love fairy type. I like the way it interacts with dragon type. Yeah, and it's fun. I feel like the latest games, Sword and Shield, some people poo-poo them, but I like them. I wasn't as big a fan of the ones right before that, Sun and Moon, but I
loved
like Sword.
Sun and Moon.
I like all the new guys they added, but the story I felt was like slow in that. I like the graphics and the style and the Hawaiian vibe, but I felt like it was a game where I'm like constantly like, okay, I'll take a step forward, and then I get interrupted with a cutscene, which was a little annoying.
Yeah.
I've been digging that. I like all the new guys. I like that Duraludon, the steel dragon one, who looks like a skyscraper. Stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Gigantamaxing, I think, is fun, making your Pokemon super huge for no reason. It's very entertaining. And the new DLC, I think, is really good, too, and has some fun challenges in there. I'm still into it for sure, without a doubt.
I feel it because I loved Sun and Moon so much. I love the new gym sort of mechanic. It's like the kahunas, and I'm like, this is fucking dope.
Yeah.
I love that. I love how I thought I was gonna hate the Pokemon call where you call the Pokemon to like fly you to wherever or like. Thing instead of HMs. I thought I was going to hate it, but I thought it was actually super, like, convenient.
Oh, I love that. Riding around on Tauros and stuff. I mean, that was some of the coolest stuff. And
I know,
even,
I thought
even
I was
like
hate
the.
It.
I think it's Stoutland, where he, like, sniffs around
the
and
dog.
Stuff. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I loved all that. And, like, because HMs were always annoying. And, like, having your, like, what they call in the games an HM slave. Which is basically a loser Pokemon.
Like a random Zigzagoon that knows like everything.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
He like carries.
That was
you
one of the
games.
More like it was one of the more interesting like separations between like adventuring in the game and actually battling. Because you would have that Pokemon that was like kind of trash at battling, but you needed it to get through everything else. So you were just like, here's a difference between like I'm going through, you know, like Victory Road and like I'm going to fight the Elite Four basically. And I thought that was always kind of an interesting like split in the way that the game made you like have kind of different Pokemon for different like situations like that. And
I don't think they'll do this, but I think that could actually be a very interesting mechanic, what you're talking about in a more. I don't think the new one they just announced, Arceus Legends, is going to be like that. But if they did like an Ocarina of Time or even Ocarina of Time, but like some sort of 3D adventure game in the like if you were a Pokemon Ranger running around or something like that and you needed to grappling hook and it's like, okay, instead of grappling hook, I'm going to grab onto my Bulbasaur while he vine whips me across or something like that. You know what I mean? Like if the Pokemon.
Or have like a rock climb or something.
Yeah, exactly. Like if these, if they had ways of interacting with the environment and solving puzzles in like a three-dimensional way, that could be an interesting way of like, I mean, it's so hard, and I think they ran into that with the recent games. It's like, okay, a new one's coming out. We need, like, 100 new guys, and then it's like every time they make a new game, it's like, okay, make sure they're all in it. And it's like, okay, this team obviously does not have the resources for this. They barely have the resources to make a game in 3D. They're, like, constantly struggling. Like, on Sword and Shield, it's they got into a ton of shit because their trees in the background look like old, like, WoW games. And so they're just like, these trees suck. They're next gen trees now. This is what gamers care about. It's crazy how much work they have to do. And it's also crazy how like Nintendo kind of owns or works with Game Freak, but it's like in Pokemon Go, I remember learning about this. It's like, wow, Nintendo must be making a ton of money on Pokemon Go. And it's like, no, they only make a fraction of it because some of it goes to the Pokemon Company, some of it goes to Niantic, some of it goes to Game Freak. And it's like, how did this happen that the
there's like five different companies that have their
It's
weird. And like the same, it's like the same thing with the card game too, because it's like I think like Wizards of the Coast still makes money on it because they originally created the card game, and like, you know, there's like five different companies that are taking a piece of whatever Pokemon like product comes out. So yeah, it's kind of crazy considering like how big a thing Pokemon is, just like worldwide.
Well, I mean, like honestly,
it's still, you know, sort of
honestly, people go ahead. People love Pokemon so much that they'll buy garbage with Pokemon slapped on it. Cause I will. I fucking cause I just got my car. Before I didn't have a car, I made my boyfriend and my mom take me to McDonald's so we could go get them Happy Meals. The
and I've only gotten, I got one of those too.
Yeah, but I only got two because they're all sold out. But my mom, like, she's like, my friend from work gave these like to me so you could have them. I'm like ripping them open. I'm like, hell yeah! Like, and they're garbage.
Which cards did I get? And give like, me those cards, yeah.
And like they give it to you in like a cheap like little cardboard thing that you can like fold into like a card holder. It's like it's garbage, but oh my god, like I'm going crazy for them and I love it so much. Like the pop figures, some of them are so fucking ugly and like no one wanted this fucking Diglett pop figure, but here I am wanting this.
Oh no.
The idea of Diglett reduced to a Funko design is such a funny idea because it's like it already looks like you fucking drew a mound and threw in eyes and nose. Like it's not a complicated drawing.
I was like, here it is. Really $10, please, for this garbage.
Yeah, right. But I know what you mean. Huge, huge fandom. It's like, I don't know where it would be ranked, but it's probably like on top, like Star Wars, then below that, Harry Potter, and then below that, something like this, right?
I remember reading somewhere, I don't know where, but it might not be like verified.
Depends on where you are.
But I heard that, like, I heard that Pokemon makes like tons more money than Disney could ever fucking dream of, and I believe it because it's a worldwide, like worldwide over across generations. And there's been
Disney's very like U.S. centric mostly.
And to my knowledge, Pokemon's been very minimally problematic. Besides, you know, Jinx and
the whole epilepsy thing.
Yeah, the whole epilepsy thing. God. But like.
Look that up if you don't know what we're talking about, because it's insane.
Or don't, so you don't get a seizure.
Yeah, don't look up the actual clip.
And like, well, we've also got kind of like retroactively, like everybody is like standing Jesse and James now too, because they're basically queer icons. We're just like, yay! Like it used to be like people were like, oh no, and now people are like, yay! And it's like, oh, they were right all along. Like Jesse and James are cool. They're awesome. Come on.
Yeah.
That reminds me of that episode that they banned because James had titties. Yeah, I've never seen that episode or like what the context is, but I've definitely seen the screen grab of James having boobs and I'm like,
he has inflatable titties.
Yeah.
He like
James is an icon.
I remember that it was like a bathing suit competition and he was just making fun of Misty for being flat chested and he pushes a button. He pushes a button and makes his titties grow like bigger. And I was like, "Oh my, like I didn't think it was like bad, but I was like, holy shit." I was like, "They cut this." I was like, "Yeah, I like I'm pretty sure I know why they cut this."
Like the US censors were scandalized.
Oh, hell
yeah. They loved it in Japan.
Oh, I remember. Oh my god. They took out the Dratini episode because this guy was pointing a gun at all these kids. But they took out that episode. But in the Squirtle Squad episode, all the townspeople have their fucking guns drawn on Ash and they didn't cut that episode. So
I think
I
it's
because like,
even the censors are like, fuck Ash, man. Fuck that kid.
Fuck Ash. And we're introducing Squirtle, so we can't really cut
he
this out.
He tried to punch a Mewtwo. He deserves to be shot. It's like, idiot. Wow, that's a pretty harsh stance for the MPAA to take, but okay.
It is. There is a pretty funny supercut of Ash just like being extremely savage to Misty. Like,
oh my
god! Just like,
yeah, all that stuff. I miss that stuff, and it's sort of absent from the movie too. Is just them being dicks to each other and them being kids. Like that's And I think, like, what you were saying earlier about this movie is, like, it's like they could have followed one thread or the other, and it's like it's not so much that they have these dark ideas and they have these funny things, because like Disney and like A Soul by Pixar is a great example of a movie that has super serious stuff and also really silly stuff in it too. Mm-hmm. It's like you can do that, but you have to blend the two tones together so there's a transition, and this one is just like clean break, okay, totally different situation, and now those two things collide, and now it's like this weird maudlin crying Pikachu tone, and you're just, and also that weird song that they play,
the music, the music is out of control
song?
In this movie.
The Backstreet Boys fucking song.
Is that what it is?
It's
so
one of those guys.
It's not actually in sync. It is like a boy band group, though, I believe.
O-Town?
I can't remember the name
of
them.
I swear to God, NSYNC did a song for Pokemon movie.
And Herman Cain quoted a song from the Pokemon movies in his one of his speeches. I remember that, too. By Diana Ross. I think...
Christina Aguilera has a song on the soundtrack for this movie. The one you're talking about was from one of the later Pokemon movies. I can't remember which one now. It may have been like Pokemon the Movie 2000,
which was honestly my favorite.
Worst names of, I mean, they have like it's like Pokemon movie names are terrible, and then like Kingdom Hearts names are terrible on a whole new level. But like. This is Pokemon the Movie 2.8 3D Remix, okay? Don't get it confused with 2D 3D Remix.
Did Mewtwo come up with the title for this movie? Because he does not strike back. He strikes first.
Yeah.
He preemptively strikes.
Yeah, he makes the first move.
There are no strike against him originally.
Pokemon the
He's
first
like,
movie.
I don't know if you guys knew this, but...
Well, since they cut
if
the
you
fucking
knew this, but
20
I'm the good guy, Mewtwo.
Prologue. I think they named it Strikes Back before they cut the prologue explaining who struck him first.
Right, and also it's like I've been contained.
Again, still like they're like they give him life and he's like, I don't like life. I can kill all of you. It's like they didn't really strike him, and then the other guy comes along and he's like, I want you to be my Pokemon, and he's not like, no, I'll see you later. He's like, I'll kill you. It's like, who is the aggressor here, Mewtwo?
Mewtwo, have you considered not blowing a building up when you leave?
They were originally going to
call
this
every building
Pokemon
up that he leaves.
The first movie, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, which is, I think, a more beautiful, beautiful name for it. But also, he strikes back immediately against the scientist who created him, right? But so it's like the movie happens in the first 3 seconds of the movie, and then, and I think that's like. The problem is that they write these movies like they're an episode of the show, and on the episode of the show, you would go and meet some new character, and then our characters who you already know come in and solve their problems and then leave, like, you know, samurais or cowboys in an old show. Yeah. But, like, in a movie about this character, which you would assume introduces it to a wider audience, this movie makes no attempt to explain any of its... stuff. Like, if you don't know how a Pokeball works, good fucking luck in this movie, because they just start working. If you don't know the basics of who any of these people are, good luck, because we don't meet our main character until 30 minutes in, and the journey is not about his story. Ash goes on no journey at this point. None of the characters learn a valuable lesson. They all stay true to what was already in them from the show, and so Mewtwo is the only one who really learns a lesson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if they learned anything, Mewtwo wipes their memories at the end. So they don't even remember that all this shit happened. It's just a blank slate. It's like, what were we doing? Why are we here?
Where did this huge fucking bruise come from when I got launched into the room?
Why am I 6 days older?
It should be called Pokemon the First Movie Mewtwo Gaslights the Team.
Oh, damn.
This is all your fault. I didn't do anything,
Mewtwo,
so I can't.
Problematic.
I need you to apologize for what? I don't know what I did.
Also the fact that like the stirring message of the movie is like, imagine if like the iconic monologues of Star Wars were delivered by R2-D2 and you're just like sitting there listening to him beep for like 30 seconds and then someone's like, oh, so what you're saying is that we should all love each other?
Meowth translating the other Meowth.
Yeah, and, as a big fan of Meowth, I'm, you know, clearly like, I love Meowth. I have a cat named Meowth. I'm like happy that we get, and like the lines as they are written are actually kind of nice and have a good message, but it's just that they are delivered and put in the movie in such a throwaway last minute thing that it feels like, it feels weird. It's like, yeah, I can't get over. And I feel like I was reading yesterday on the wiki, like that's what critics, like in Japan, this was a huge movie. And in America, they were just like, it's weird that your messages don't fight when it's like your whole, it's Pokemon, they fight. So.
That's like your, yeah. Fighting is your thing, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think any of the Pokemon games have been able to sort of like segue into like having a bigger theme other than like it's a fun adventure, because I think I can't remember which Pokemon game it was where they were like trying to make people stop having Pokemon as pets or as like a fighting team or whatever. I think that may have been Black and White. Was that Black and White? Yeah,
I've never played that one.
And I was like so like technically, yeah, maybe I agree that they shouldn't keep the Pokemon as like slaves or whatever, but also like then there's no game if we agree with that premise. So like why have we delved into this issue?
Rescue this princess or collect all these rings. Let's just sit around and get high.
It's like, wait a minute. Am I the villain?
Me?
Well, the game takes a deep. It's like that thing in games where they like make you shoot someone, and they're like, "Oh no, player, what have you done?" And you're like, "You made me do this, damn it!
You don't want to.
I had to do that to progress. I couldn't get any further."
Right? Yeah, exactly. It's like it's different if it's an open world game and you literally have a choice.
Wasn't that a thing in like one of the Last of Us, like the most recent Last of Us game, where it's like sometimes you have to like murder dogs that come to like attack you, and then it's like really sad, and it's like you killed a dog, and it's like it was going to eat me.
Well, that's fuck a theme. You. I mean, I could go into a longer Last of Us podcast. I'm a big stan of those games, but there is a thing. I mean, that's like a theme in Last of Us is like, oh no, these are characters. You don't get to control everything that they do, and sometimes they make decisions that are gonna make you sad. They're gonna make you real sad. But yeah, I mean, it also for whatever reasons, it reminds me of the meme, the classic Call of Duty meme, where you're at your friend's funeral in the beginning of Call of Duty, and it's like press F to play respects.
Press F to pay respects. Yeah,
that's why whenever anyone dies, going in the chat, everyone's like F. Throw those Fs in the chat. And it is kind of like it's that awkward marriage of technology and intimacy, and like sometimes they get it. Like they're in. Speaking of Last of Us 2, the romance in that I think is very compelling, and there are moments, and like Senua's Sacrifice is another game where it's like, whoa, they're taking on real world themes and this is really cool. But I think there's just a slight incoherence and nonsense about the Pokemon universe that doesn't really check out or make a lot of sense. No. And instead of leaning into the wackiness of it, they're constantly trying to be like, no, it all does make sense. And like trying to do all this stuff. And I think that's like the wrong attitude to have. Like if it's just a cartoon, just like make it a cartoon and make it fun, because then we'll feel less bad about the animals getting hurt anyway. And like I don't know, I think they spend a lot of time trying to make it coherent when it's like maybe fundamentally incoherent.
I'm glad that they've never sort of like tried to do like, oh, we're gonna make this gritty now or whatever. Like there was a definitely like a generation in the like video games where it was just like everything was a gritty like dark reboot or whatever, and I'm glad that like Pokemon has been so separated from like mainline video games because it's been on a handheld system for so long that it managed to avoid most of that. So I hope they never attempt that with Pokemon, because like, you know, it's completely antithetical to the idea of just like, hey, let's have like fun.
Let's have an adventure. Like,
adventures, yeah.
I would never do Mario either.
Yeah,
I would love to see this like Edgelord Dante's Inferno version of Pokemon you're describing, though. Just as like a like, what is the hot topicification of Pokemon? Do you know what I mean? Like, I would love to see it. Well,
that's,
I wouldn't love to play it.
It's so funny that you mentioned Dante, too.
Well, because I just think of that game as, like, the game where it's just, it's like Dante in hell yelling at some sort of evil witch, and he's like, fuck you! And she's like, no! Fuck you! And it's like, what is happening? Yeah. Like, this is the lore?
It's very funny that, like, Devil May Cry was already sort of that game, but then they also made a gritty reboot of Devil May Cry, and I was like, why? It's already a gritty
Capcom with Resident Evil and all of their games really are like the kings of, like, this is super serious, but also there's like six dolls that you need to collect. And it's just like, they are the, if anyone does like the oscillating tone best, I think it's like the Resident Evil games. I love Resident Evil 2 a lot. I love Resident Evil 4 and 7. 7, but even so, it's still like, there's bobbleheads. You need to shoot them and stuff. So like,
yeah.
That's just game stuff in general. But like, I think, sometimes there is a way, especially I think with horror, it's okay to mix in cheese a little bit too, because people sometimes horror schlock and that sort of thing. But like, I don't know what the way, but I guess the way to make Pokemon, if this is what we're talking about, like better as like a, as a story, is to give it to somebody who can make it coherent, like a Pixar, or even what they did with Sonic. I was like, this is, as a big Sonic fan, I was like, this doesn't make a lot of sense. But when I was like 45 minutes into this movie, I'm like, oh shit, do I like this Sonic the Hedgehog movie? I think I do. And like, I just kept liking it. And I'm like, Jim Carrey's dancing, and this makes me think of times I've liked laughing at Jim Carrey. I'm on board with this. I don't know. It's like, it's just like likable. And it's like, oh, James Marsden is in a movie and he isn't killed immediately. This is great. And so I mean, I feel like there's somebody out there, like, I heard Illumination has been working for years on, like, a Mario movie.
Oh, and my God.
The Minions guys. And so I'm very interested to see how you make that coherent, because that's another fundamentally incoherent universe that only makes sense as a game. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, it would make so much sense to do, like, either a live-action or animated Zelda movie, or even Metroid, because they have semi-coherent narratives that could follow a quest storyline at the very least. Like,
I'd love to see a Metroid Prime movie. That would be fun.
Oh my God. In my head, that's like my Netflix pitch is like, okay, so here's exactly how my Super Metroid movie would go down. Okay, it's like, it's all about like, Samus doesn't have parents and she has to care for the baby Metroid and get back at Ridley, and is revenge worth it, and like make it look like Alien, and it would be so good. And I think there's room. I think people would like stuff like that, but it's, I mean, like, having, again, recently rewatched Super Mario Bros., the 1990s live action movie, like, there's so many ways to get that wrong, and like, that one was a huge, huge misstep in so many ways. But like, I get why you'd want to make a Mario movie, because it's Mario and he's like iconic, but like, again, what is that story? Just princess gets like kidnapped?
When it's stuff like this, like Mario, things that have like a big like following, like Mario, Pokemon, all these things, it's like you have to get a fan, someone that's grown up with it and loved it unconditionally since they were young. Like Lord of the Rings, Peter Jackson was a fan of it for so long. And he's like, I get to do Lord of the Rings. And of course it was amazing, because he wanted to be amazing, because he wanted to pay tribute to this stuff. But if you just get people like, who, I don't even know who the fuck made Detective Pikachu, but I was like, you didn't even, I was like, this story is bogus. I like, I, I'm just like,
but that's like, how I felt. Can I say as an aside, I got into real trouble on Twitter because of Detective Pikachu, because it's like, I've made it a running gag on my Twitter account that it's like my quote-unquote least favorite movie of all time. It probably isn't, but it's like some movies that you're like, oh, I hope this is really good, hurt the most when they're not. And so even though I've definitely seen much worse, technically worse movies, that one I always think about. So like, there was a comedy show that was going on, and it was like Emily Gordon and some other people, it was like, we're all gonna get these geek comedians together, and they're all gonna talk about what it would take to make the worst video game movie. And it's like, oh, that's cool and fun. But one of the people they had was the writer of Detective Pikachu.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
I was just like, dude, you, so what you did, I like sir? Replied to it. I'm like, you already did it. He already fucking did it. And I didn't realize that that guy was on the chain I was replying to. And so I like personally insulted the guy, and then all these people started coming at me. I'm like, oh shit, I didn't realize. I just really fucking hate that
I mean
movie.
He knows what he did.
He knows exactly what he did.
He knows what he did. Yeah, you're right. He deserved it. I'm not a dick. I'm going to go after everyone. What's Kelly Marie Tran's email? I got to go do something.
No, leave her alone.
No, she did nothing wrong. She did nothing
I love
wrong.
Porgs. I love porgs. I love her. I love The Last Jedi. I have it right over here. I swear. I actually have. I bought this. This is just an aside, but I bought a rose. It was right when she got kicked off, or not kicked off, she took the social media hiatus because she's just like, people are fucking blaming me for their own mental problems, and mental health is important, but as soon as I was at Target, I was like, and I just had a fantasy where I'm like, wow, pre-COVID I used to like go to Target, wow, what a time. But yeah, I was like, I'm supporting Kelly Marie Tran. I feel like
if they were to, I really want a successful Pokemon movie. Really want one, and I don't think.
Technically, Detective Pikachu made some money.
Successful, but like
it was successful, the best kind of.
All around.
You are technically correct. The best kind of. Correct.
I want like an all around like success. Like everyone loves it because someone who loved it made it, and like. I feel like they were halfway there because all the Pokemon looked so great.
Yeah.
So good. Beautiful. And they had that battle arena with Charizard and like the other one.
That was a fun sequence.
That was amazing. I was like, I want a whole hour of that. And going back to like, I feel like if we were to like make like a Zelda movie, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? It would probably be akin to like a Lord of the Rings kind of feel. Which I think would be super dope because people eat that shit up.
Yeah,
like a medieval sort of Renaissance sort of thing.
Break that story once, as I think in our 20s, me and another huge Zelda fan of mine, who's like a USC guy, we're like, what would we do? Let's write on speculation this Zelda script, and so we did something that was like sort of Link's Awakening. At the beginning where he's on the raft and he's like at sea and he crashed like, because mm-hmm. I was like that opening is very iconic to me as a Game Boy guy, and so I was like, what if you basically tell the story of Ocarina of Time, but you make Link arrive as like a if you start it with some Link's Awakening stuff, so it's like this isn't going to be a one-to-one retelling of this same story. Maybe we'll mix in some Wind Waker stuff. Maybe we'll mix in some other stuff. It'll be like another legend, because I guess the storyline of that is like there's always a Link, there's always a Zelda, there's always a Ganon, and like they just reappear over time or whatever. But like, I think that's like a very, I think that's one people are really scared of getting wrong. Like,
oh yeah, mm-hmm. there are gonna be
Stephanie, what were you saying?
Oh, I feel what was it? That's a good question. What was I saying?
I think you were talking about like the ways in which you could get a Pokemon movie right.
Oh yeah, I feel like especially with like open ended sort of things like Pokemon, like you could make speculations out of anything. I feel like what would be most successful for a Pokemon movie would be like, I don't know, maybe like. I feel like I want to see like prequels. I want to see childhoods, and I want to see like history. you know, you feel me? But what I really wanted, what I super wanted when I was a kid, back when I like played it like super like a lot, I wanted a video game, a Pokemon game where you could like become a gym leader and choose your gym, choose your type, like choose like The Sims, but for gym leaders, and I wanted it so bad, and they keep coming out with these games, like, that's just, like, just roam around and catch Pokemon. I'm like, that's not what I wanted. Thank you, but that's not what I wanted. Thank you so much.
I want to set up my own gym.
Yeah. That should be a thing. If it was made by Sony or Microsoft, you know that would have already been a thing, like, 6 generations ago for multiplayer online. Because you should be able to be like, here's my gym. Here's our typing, and come challenge me anytime. And then you Class a button, yeah, schedule and you can, your like, gym date.
Yeah,
or
you
whatever.
Can custom design your badge.
Yeah,
your,
exactly.
What our badge like, looks like. Because it's a penis on
yeah,
a
exactly.
badge.
It's two dicks yeah. intercrossed, and there's a. It's a pincer, but his head is dicks instead. See, so it's clever.
Like, the most natural segue from champion is to make your own gin. So why yeah. can't we just yeah. naturally connect those two?
And
I don't understand.
And fundamentally, what you're saying is, like, a problem. Okay, in general with these games, there's a problem with the end game, which is, like, the last, I think, really great end game was, like, Pokemon Silver, where you could go back to the first game and do all those gyms again.
Yeah.
And, like, I think Pokemon Sword and Shield have had great DLCs, but again, you're still paying for content that could mm-hmm. have made the base game better, which is DLC's problem in general, but like there's so many cool things in there that sort of push towards a more challenging experience, and it's like you don't have to stop making these games for little kids. You should make them for everybody, but maybe just have like a difficulty slider or like a new game plus where it's like much harder because you yeah, have people who've grown up with this series, like, and it's a
yeah,
little
so
easier.
So has anybody Yeah, have any of y'all ever done Nuzlocke runs?
I tried and I couldn't. Because I get attached to my Pokemon so fast.
I think they should 100% implement. Yeah. They should like 100% option. Implement Nuzlocke runs into the main game. Like,
yeah.
It should be a thing. You should be able to pick it as a mode. Mm-hmm. You're like, all right, here we go. Pokemon die, they die.
I also feel because people, I understand, people are getting like kind of like burnt out with like the same formula, and that's when like Sun and mm-hmm. Moon like took it and like turned it into something else, and that's why I liked it so much, because it was different, because you could only yeah. play so many things of go to 8 gyms, defeat bad guy, become champion, collect all Pokemon, now collect shiny Pokemon. Yeah. That's only so much I can do with that. I don't,
and it's the
like,
same thing every time too.
It's the so same it's thing like... every time, and I get if it's yeah. If it's not broke, don't fix it. But like, okay, but we could like make it a little bit better, right? We could.
And they take yeah, bigger risks with their other franchises too.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't come out with a new Zelda or a new Mario unless they come out with some gimmick. I mean, they made motion control. Well, I guess Pokemon Let's Go is sort of a, I think that's a good example. So Skyward Sword, you've got this. You've got your thing with Mario Odyssey, you're throwing the cap, and Galaxy, you're going all around. They have these mm-hmm. big gimmicks, and Pokemon Let's Go is like, okay, now we have motion controls, but also it's the first game again, and you can't get the other. It's like they'll take risks within yeah. these like parameters mm-hmm. to the point where is adding motion controls to a Nintendo game that even a risk anymore? They all have them.
Yeah,
so like,
yeah.
I will say that they're doing this game. It's called Pokemon Arceus Legends, and it's like takes place in what seems like medieval Japan,
and it's
open world. It looks really good, and they're also remaking Diamond and Pearl, and the art style of that is a little, but like it's still Diamond and Pearl. But Arceus Legends, I mean, maybe that's the big thing. It looks like Pokemon Breath of the Wild. You know, mm-hmm. maybe it's a push in
yeah.
the right direction.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say is, like, maybe you could figure out a way that you actually, like, capturing all the Pokemon mattered because you needed their unique abilities
yeah.
in order to
yeah.
get you through the game. Like you
had
to use them like in Zelda where you have to figure out a puzzle,
yeah.
but you need this one weapon to yeah. get through it first.
Like,
you
give me a reason
have,
to
like,
go out
the ice
and get
rod
all these
or
guys.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, what if you're, like, Santa, and you have to deliver specific Pokemon to specific kids to send them on their journeys or something like that? Like, then it would be... I mean, I would love something that mixed in the, like, problem-solving amongst the town of Majora's Mask, where you're running around doing, like, quests for everybody with Pokemon. I think that could be a fun thing, too. And I think, like... Mm. We've seen like the kid trainer journey over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
I think like exploring other characters in this universe is not a bad idea. Like the idea of, I don't know if the idea of Detective Pikachu is great or not. I think like there's aspects of it that I'm just like, I find baffling, but, and it would have been so much better with Danny DeVito.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's just so funny. I'm
just thinking about the ending of that movie and how much funnier it would have been with Danny DeVito instead of Ryan Reynolds.
How great would that be? I mean, how great would it have been if it had been Ryan Reynolds' voice the whole time, it's clearly going to be Ryan
And then
Reynolds.
It's going to be Danny
Vito. Hey, we're dead, remember?
Hey.
All right, we got to go run some scams. And it's just like, that would be so friggin' satisfying. It would have been made the whole movie worth it in a weird way. Like, all right, we got to grease me up. I got to get in this couch. It's just Sunny with Pokemon. I would love to see that, too. Like, sitcom characters with Pokemon. I mean, there's a lot you can do with it, and there's so many possibilities. And maybe that's why it's so hard to, and why they keep it so close, is because you have so many factors and stuff like that. They're scared of messing it up, I would imagine. I don't know.
I mean, I feel like since Pokemon is so, like I said, they slapped it on garbage, I'll buy it. It doesn't matter. I feel they could do whatever they want with almost no repercussions, but they just won't. And I get it. I get it. It's like, I don't want to ruin what we have. But I'm like, you're not gonna, because I will fucking buy anything that you come out with. And they know that.
Gamers are such rabid consumers, and it takes a lot for, I mean, I don't know. It's hard. I mean, like, today the gaming climate is crazy. Stuff like Cyberpunk and Anthem, and like, you can't have big failures, but it's just hard to imagine a brand like Pokemon like not selling copies. Yeah.
They like can't fail. People will buy
not bouncing back from. Yeah.
Like, people, even if it's a shitty, awful, terrible game, product, whatever, people are still going to buy it, whether they either genuinely like it or they're just going to buy it to fucking make fun of it. They will buy it.
They'll buy it to stream it and put it on YouTube. And
like, look at this garbage. But you bought it.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't need our advice. They're doing very well, I guess. But at the same time, from a story perspective, they def need our advice.
Yeah, I think we've thoroughly dissected the both the film and Pokemon.
Are you kidding? I'm ready to go through hour two of this. All right,
we'll have to come out with a sequel. We'll have to come out with the gold and silver version of this podcast.
Pokemon 2000
at some point
review.
In the future. Yes. Yeah, Lucia. Yeah. We'll review Pokemon 2000 at some point in the future.
Oh, boy.
All right. So does anybody else have anything else, like one last little thing to say, one last
Tyranitar
quip or
rules.
Anything about Pokemon? I don't think I asked everybody what your favorite Pokemon actually is.
It depends on the game.
I love Skarmory a whole lot. I had a Skarmory in Pokemon Skarmory's Silver who was super broken, and I loved him. He had sleep talk and rest. Ooh. And he would just continually heal himself while doing spikes damage, and it was so broken and annoying. I mean, it made me laugh so hard. You can't do that anymore.
Yeah,
I love Gliscor.
Good times when
so weird. And yeah, Tyranitar makes me super happy. I love Mecha Tyranitar and X and Y, and just sandstorming people. Oh, and Blaziken, love that guy. He's great. Those are my faves.
I love grass type. I love Bulbasaur, and Rowlet from Sun and Moon is so cute. I love him so much. He's a round little grass owl that I would absolutely die for. I love him so much.
He's cute.
I also really like, I had a Steelix in Diamond and Pearl that would just tank everything. Like, you hit him with ground fire, nothing. Absolutely nothing. But like come at me. Like, what do you want? So yeah, those are my guys. I love those guys. My squad.
Steel type is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was a big fan of them adding those types. I was not a fan of fairy types at first, but I've come around to them. Mm-hmm. Mostly because I just love the fairy dogs in the latest games. I think Zacian and Zamazenta are some of the coolest legendaries they've come up with. Recently, I'm like, all right, they gotten back on track with these guys. I love a dog
just,
that carries a big sword around in its mouth. Yeah,
he's just the dog from cool. Dark Souls, basically, which makes him even cooler. I forgot the dog's name, but yeah.
Ruben, do you have any favorite Pokemon?
You know my favorite.
I know, but the people listening to the podcast don't know your favorite Pokemon.
It's Snorlax.
Oh,
Snorlax.
So big and he's so sleepy.
Me, same. My spirit.
He's a very good boy.
Yeah, he rolls.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you to our guests for being here and talking with us. If you enjoyed this podcast, you can check out our other podcast at fancyfilmfellows.com. Or you can check us out on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or whatever aggregating service you use for podcasts. And I don't know, do we know what our next episode's going to be? Are we doing a spitball? Is that...
Yeah, a spitball about NFTs.
All right, we're doing a spitball about non-fungible tokens. So look forward to that. Very topical, very modern, the next one. So thank you very much for listening, and we will see you next time.
Bye.